The following message is brought to you by the Southside Church of Christ in Smyrna, Tennessee. A new message airs each Sunday morning right here on WGNS from 10:45 to 11 a.m. We would like to invite you to worship with us at any or all of our services. You'd be our honored guest. We meet on Sundays at 9 and 10 a.m. and 6 p.m., as well as Wednesdays at 7 p.m. We meet at 1167 South Lowry Street, that's Murfreesboro Road, in Smyrna, Tennessee. Please visit our website at defendthegospel.com. Thank you for listening and have a wonderful day. The title for our lesson this morning is Prepared. Now, we talk about preparing many things. We talk about preparing a good meal. Matter of fact, here around the holiday seasons, a lot of good meals are being prepared, and those are important. But as we read the Bible, we find that God prepared many things. And I want to suggest to you that there are some important, essential spiritual lessons that we can and must learn from some of the things that God has prepared. I want to think about three of those this morning. Three things that I want to write on our hearts. Lessons that we learn from things God prepared. Number one, we learn a lesson about discipline from something God prepared. Going back to the Old Testament, to that famous story of Jonah. When Jonah tried to run from God's command, God had commanded him to go and to preach to Nineveh, but Jonah would rather have Nineveh destroyed. He was afraid that if they repented, that God would refrain from destroying them, and that's exactly what happened. And Jonah was upset about that. But Jonah tried to run from God's command at first. He ended up on a ship to Tarshish in a dangerously tempestuous storm. Let me tell you something, my friends. You cannot run from God. We should not run from the commandments of God. We ought to obey Him. But Jonah finally convinced his fellow sailors to throw him overboard. And we're told that the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. Jonah 1, verse 17. We learned that this fish disciplined Jonah. And after the fish had spit him out upon the land, Jonah was again told to go preach to Nineveh, and he did so immediately. God prepared that fish to discipline Jonah. Listen, my friends, God has prepared today in His church a method of discipline to be used in the church today for those who fall from grace. Yes, the Apostle Paul taught in Galatians chapter 5 that one can fall from grace. Sometimes those who are Christians, those who are trying to serve God faithfully, lapse back into a life of sin. That's what many passages teach. For example, in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20, Peter said, "For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them to not have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them." And so Peter here speaks of those who turn back from serving the Lord, turn back from the word of righteousness, turn back from their salvation, and go back into a life of sin. And God has prepared a method of discipline for us to use in order to bring him back. For example, in Matthew chapter 18, in the context there, Jesus is talking about a brother who sins against you. Go to him, just you and him alone. Rebuke him. Perhaps he'll repent and you've gained your brother. But if he won't hear you, take two or three more with you as witnesses and talk to him. If he won't hear them, tell it to the church. And if he won't hear the church, Jesus said, let him be unto you as a tax collector and a heathen. Now, how did the Jews treat the tax collectors? Well, they wouldn't have any social functions with them. They wouldn't have them over for supper. Wouldn't have them over Friday night for a game of canasta. They just wouldn't enjoy those functions with them. Jesus said, you teach an erring brother who refuses to repent of his sin, you treat him like that. Don't in any way give him the idea that you think he's okay in his sin. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul addressed the church at Corinth. They had a grievous sinner among them, one who was guilty of incest. And they were glorying rather than mourning over the sin, accepting this brother in sin as if everything was okay. And Paul tells them in verse 5 to deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. And so the hope is that they will be ashamed of their sins and come back repenting and confessing of their sins. You see, we withdraw our fellowship from them, not because we hate them, but because we love them. Listen, dear friend, if you're doing something dangerous to yourself, and your friends do not warn you of that danger, they are no friends of yours. They are no friends of yours. If a brother has gone into sin, his soul is in jeopardy of being condemned forever. And no true brother in Christ can ignore that. We must confront that brother's sin, not because we hate him, not because we want to rub it in, but because we love him. We want him to repent. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, beginning of verse 14, the Apostle Paul writes there and says, "And if anyone does not obey our word in this epistle, note that person and do not keep company with him." Why? Paul said that he may be ashamed. We want him to say, look at what I've lost. I've lost my friendship. I've lost my fellowship with my brethren who are near and dear to me. I better sit down and rethink this thing. I might need to repent of my sin. That's the hope. In verse 15, Paul goes on to say, "Yet do not count him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother." Try to win him back. Over in the book of James, chapter 5, verse 19 and 20, James talks about someone who wins back a brother who has strayed. He said, "Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sin." And so God has put in place church discipline in hopes of turning an erring Christian from the error of his way, saving his soul and covering a multitude of sins. God has prepared that method within his church today. Number two, not only do we learn from things God prepared a lesson about discipline, but we learn a lesson about deliverance. Now, God has made preparations for the deliverance of sinful man. After seeing baby Jesus, Simeon said to God in Luke 2, 30 and 31, "For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all the peoples." God had worked down through his providence, worked down through the history of Israel and other nations, preparing the world for the birth of the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ the righteous. And Paul tells us in Galatians 4 that he came at just at the right time, when the time was right. Jesus was born of a woman. He was born, as John said, to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5. The Bible talks about how God prepared a body for Christ. And Jesus used his prepared body to make the ultimate sacrifice on the cross at Calvary so that we might have deliverance from our sins. Hebrews 10, verse 10, the Bible says, "By that we will have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." What a glorious thought. And listen, my friend, Jesus died for the vilest of sinners. Let no one ever think that they've been so sinful that God could never forgive them. Listen, my friend, God loves you. Jesus died on the cross for sinners. He died on the cross for those that he called his enemies. Those that he called ungodly, those that he called without strength, Romans chapter 5, verse 6 to 9. These are the people Christ died for. Jesus himself said he didn't come to heal those who weren't sick. He came to heal the sick. He came to save the sinners. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, the Apostle Paul begins to give a list of some of the vilest sins you could think of. I've often said to folks, sit down and make a list of vile sins. And then compare that list to 1 Corinthians 6, 9, and 10. And I doubt that many people could come up with a list worse than this one. And Paul said, "These people who are guilty of these sins will not inherit the kingdom of God. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God?" Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And then Paul said this in verse 11, and such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. They were washed. They were guilty of these vile sins, and God forgave them of their sins. They heard the gospel. Faith comes by hearing, Romans 10:17. They believed the gospel. That is, they believed Jesus to be the Son of God. The Lord said in John 8:24, unless you believe that I'm He, you'll die in your sins. These vile sinners, they heard, they believed. They repented of their sins, Acts 2:38. Changed their life, made the decision to stop serving sin and Satan and start serving the Savior. They confessed their faith in Christ, Romans 10:9-10, for the heart one believes in the righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And they obeyed the gospel. They did what the Lord said in order to be washed. In Mark 16:16, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Revelation 1:5 says he has washed us from our sins with his own blood. We're told in Ephesians 1:7 that we have the forgiveness of sins through his blood. The blood of Christ washed away their sins when they were baptized. I know it was at that point because in Acts 22:16, Ananias told Saul, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins at the act of baptism. One context, the blood of Christ and his sins are washed away, and all because God prepared the Lord Jesus to deliver us from our sins. Number three, we learn lessons from that which God prepared in relation to discipline, in relation to deliverance, and in relation to destiny. God has made preparations for the eternal destiny of everyone. Regarding hell for those who do not obey the Lord, Jesus said, then he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Matthew 25:41. Hell's flames were prepared for Satan and his rebellious messengers. But God will use those same flames to punish the souls of rebellious people as well. In 2 Thessalonians 1:7-9, where Paul depicts the Lord Jesus being revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. In verse 34 of Matthew 25, those on the right hand will hear, come, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And so, just as God has prepared a destiny for the disobedient, God has prepared a home for the faithful. Jesus spoke of his Father's house containing many mansions, and he was going to prepare a place for his faithful disciples, John 14:2-3. While hell is a prepared place for a perverse people, heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. My friends, are you prepared? We must prepare ourselves for heaven. We do that by obeying the gospel. In Hebrews 5:8-9, talking about the Lord Jesus, the Bible says, though he was a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. You must obey the Lord. What did the Lord say? The Lord said in Mark 16:16, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. You must believe on the Lord Jesus. You must respond to that belief with obedience through baptism to have your sins washed away. Prepared. As we read the Bible, we find that God prepared many things. And these preparations teach us a lesson about discipline, how we win back a lost sinner, about deliverance, God delivered us through Jesus, and about destiny. What is your destiny?
Hello, dear friends. My name is Michael Pickford, and I'd just like to ask you a question. Are you a child of God? Are you really a Christian? I mean the way the Bible says to become a Christian. The Bible teaches that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10:17. After we hear, we must believe that Jesus is the Son of God. In John 8:24, the Lord said, unless you believe that I am He, you'll die in your sins. After hearing and believing, we must be willing to repent of our sins, change our lives, decide to serve the Lord, Acts 2:38. Now we're ready to confess our faith in Christ. Romans 10:9-10 says that with the heart we believe unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now we are prepared for baptism. The Lord said in Mark 16:16, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. In Acts 22:16, Ananias said to Saul, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Do you want your sins washed away? This verse tells us how it is done. After doing this, we are now a Christian, a child of God, and we are commanded to remain faithful to the Lord until we die in order to receive the crown of life. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. Again, thank you for listening and have a wonderful day.